What should I have said?
Was it okay for me to do that?
What was the right way to react?
Was it okay for me to step in? How do I know what was right?
It's a modern dilemma.
It certainly is. Back in the day of the landline, we sort of knew when to call people, loved ones, friends, family, and when not to call. And I think, depending on who you were, after 10 p.m. was like curfew. You couldn't do it after that. But Shannon wrote in to say and ask, if the old landline rules no longer apply, what are the new rules? When is it okay to text, for example, and when is it not? Should the sender try to judge the recipient's sleep schedule or other quiet times? Or is it up to the recipient to turn their phone off if they don't want to be interrupted? And Shannon goes on to write, my vote is it's up to the receiver. But am I just being lazy and inconsiderate? If I get a text, she writes, in the middle of the night, it just means I forgot to turn my phone off as I should have. What do you people think? Well, let's find out what some people think, including yourselves listening wherever you may be. Anna Akia is a dancer and founder of Anna's Go-Go Academy. And with her is philosopher, writer and speaker, Dr. Tim Dean. They're going to wax philosophical on this together. Anna, Tim, hello.
Hi, Michael.
Morning.
Good to have you with us. So let's start with you. In fact, let's start with you at home as well, or in the car or at work. What are your rules around contacting people on your phone, either by calling or via text? You can leave a comment on Facebook. Anna, what is your take on the etiquette here?
Look, it's a good question. I think Shannon raises a great point because technology moves so fast, we're always trying to play catch up about, acceptable and socially agreed rules and parameters about how we use it. So this is a problem that happens a lot. But I think I kind of love Shannon because they're either a very original thinker or a total sociopath. Like that attitude of, well, I can text people whenever I like, and if it disturbs them, then that's their own fault.
That's on them.
That's their own fault.
But I don't think she's a sociopath because she does say it does keep her up a little bit, hence writing to us.
Of course.
She has some empathy for the other side.
But I think the attitude of, oh, well, if it bothers you, it's your own dumb fault for not turning your phone off, is a little, it's a little harsh.
Well, where do you stand on this?
Well, I try to always consider the recipient. So, if people have children, don't call them at 5 p.m. Because the kids are going crazy. That's a bad time. Don't call my sister after 9 p.m. She's an early bird. Don't call me before 9 a.m. Hmm. And if you have a relationship close enough to be texting with someone, then I think you could probably know a little bit about their lifestyle or when's a good time or when it's easier for them to get back. Don't send them 58 texts when they're at work.
No, that's probably not the most appropriate way to go about things.
No, but the other thing that I leave my phone on at night, and maybe it's just my own mental health issues, but I leave my phone on at night because I worry about people. What if something happens? What if a friend is out and they need help and they're stuck? Or what if there's an emergency? So I tend to leave my phone on at night, and I don't know what settings Shannon's talking about
talk about that. But Tim, can I come to you? What's your perception on this? Do you think it's in the ear of the receiver or in the eye of the beholder?
Yeah, look, and it's a good question. I like what Anna said before as well, that technology moves so quickly, because when we think about the norms of communication, the way that we talk to each other and the things that are appropriate and inappropriate to do, phones, particularly texts, are such a recent invention. If you think about it, we've been speaking in the same way for over hundreds of thousands of years, which is face-to-face. So a lot of our norms of communication have been established just talking to people in front of them. And the whole idea of these devices where we can kind of appropriate some of our expectations about how we're supposed to communicate, but yet it's in these different contexts where we can interrupt people without them knowing about it, it can be difficult to keep up. And there's a difference between telephone calls and texts and instant messages and emails. But I think one of the general rules that most moral philosophers would probably lean on is to say that if you do an action that can potentially negatively affect another person, and the benefit of that action is not outweighing that negative effect. Like, of course, if it's an emergency, interrupting someone is not such a big deal.
No.
But if you're just, asking them, hey, should we catch up for coffee tomorrow? Or how was that thing? Or I just, asking them a general question or something like that, you're putting a bit of an imposition on them. So the onus is usually on the sender rather than the receiver. The sender needs to be kind of more courteous than the receiver needs to be more cautious. I mean, that's why Even people who don't lock their doors are probably not that appreciative when people just rock up and walk on in.
Good point.
So in your case, you're actually the opposite to Anna. She, as a recipient, says it's down to me as to whether I filter or not. But from your point of view, Tim, you think let's really examine the calibre of the contact as to when it is you should be making it. And if it doesn't feel like it's the right time for that kind of contact, whether it be email or text or phone call, then maybe think of another time.
Well, here's another example of where technology is changing us a little bit. We're becoming a lot more impatient these days. And I think if we exercised a little patience, if it's not an urgent message, if it's something that we could send tomorrow during waking hours without any, you know, reduction in value of that message, then really there's not a lot of cost in being more courteous. Now, if it's an urgent message or if you're sending some information that that person might need first thing in the morning, you know, maybe there's a good reason to send it through. But we do need to be mindful that a lot of people these days do keep their phones in their bedroom. And that ding going off at 1 in the morning, perhaps, or 7 a.m. or something, might be quite disruptive, particularly if they have their ear out for any potential emergencies. If they have any relatives or friends who might need to contact them in an emergency, they might be or more alert when that ding comes through, and that might end up being a bit disruptive.
Okay.
I agree with Tim on that, and I think you have to consider who you're sending the text to and what they might be doing and whether they can receive it or not. And the other thing about texts is, as Tim was saying, you know, texts have a kind of a sense of urgency about them. When I get a text, I have this kind of Pavlovian response. And no matter who it's from. And I get really annoying text messages from a laser hair removal clinic. Mm. And I'm half Italian, so it's handy. But they send me these texts all the time, and I'll get three in a row. And then I'll go, what is that? Oh, someone, my friends, I have to see what's happening. And then it's just spam. And I think so there's something about text which feels more urgent or feels like it requires an immediate response more than, say, a Facebook Messenger message or a DM on Instagram or an email or a phone call tomorrow.
Seriously?
Yeah,
so a phone call would feel less urgent to you if you saw it lighting up your screen than a text?
Yeah, and I think it's because people just send texts. You just throw it at a person, like throwing them a ball.
Yeah.
And hope they pick it up. Well, you know,
and that's a good point, Anna, because also different types of communication these days have different kind of expectations around them. And this is something that's changing so quickly. Like if I got a phone call from a landline number, I know it's either going to be a family member or spam. If I get a message through like a Facebook Messenger or WhatsApp or something like that, it's very unlikely it's going to be one of my parents or more, you know, elderly family members. If I get a phone call, it's certainly not going to be one of my younger friends. So we also have these expectations around who would be using what type of medium, and that would inform whether we should be, you know, reacting to it urgently or not.
That's a really interesting point. If you've just joined us, we're in the midst of a modern dilemma posed by Shannon about what kind of rules and etiquette and behaviours apply when you're trying to get in touch with someone, whether it be friend, family or loved one via text or phone call or one other sort of form of digital messaging that's now available to us. When can you do it? When can't you? Or is it up to the receiver to filter how they deal with those areas of their lives? My guests are Anna Arkea, who's a dance teacher and founder of Anna's Go-Go Academy, and Dr. Tim Dean, who's a philosopher, writer and speaker. Collins texted in you too and says, isn't the whole point of text that it's not synchronous so you can send and or read at your own convenience? Tim?
Well, yes, it is non-synchronous, which is actually, I think, a virtue of text. A good friend of mine often likes to say that if you'd never heard of a telephone before and somebody came in and said, here's an invention for you, you're going to put a little box in your house, it's going to make a hell of a racket whenever somebody wants to speak to you, and you have to pick it up whether you want to or not, and you have to talk to them in order to make it stop making a noise. We probably wouldn't invent that. And so a text, I think, is an evolution of that, where we can ignore it, we can get a bit asynchronous if we want. But then we also need to be mindful that most people who receive texts get that ping, that ding, and we get those ideas of, is this the big one?
But Tim, they can turn that off. And here's a little thing for both of you. I did a bit of research because, you know, I massively research every story we do.
Awesome.
And you can have do not disturb on certain kinds of smartphone for individuals rather than as a blanket policy.
oh my God, this is life changing.
Did you know
I'm
that?
I'm going to run out immediately. Oh, I've got a list. I've got a list. So I'll be adding to that.
Laser hair removal
yeah.
will only be able to make you go ding between the hours of 9 and 5, Anna.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
See, I love that. I use my phone. My phone is all work and personal because I'm self-employed. So, you know, I was getting so many texts. I was getting really this Pavlovian sort of twitch. Mm. I actually changed my ringtone to Michael Jackson going, "Who's bad?" Because that's a sound that makes me happy. So now when I get a text, I feel happy because I hear Michael Jackson go, "Who's bad?" And then I, in my mind, go, "I'm bad, you know it, Shaman." And then it takes that sort of out of, you know, the constant pinging.
It's great. You've hacked it. That's
yeah,
great.
I did it. It really helps me.
Mind you, your description of that just makes me feel anxious. You know, who's bad? I'm bad.
I'm bad. I'm bad. You know it, Shaman. Bad.
But can I just ask too, as we wind to a close here, Tim, isn't there an argument to be put too that if you have loved ones or people you care about in different time zones, then all bets are off?
Well, look, I with time zones, the only thing that changes is that we need to be more mindful of the recipient's time zone. And so I think we've all probably received a call at 2 a.m. before from a friend or a relative or a work colleague who hasn't realised that there's a time zone difference. And perhaps some of us, like I have made those calls by accident, not realising that someone's in a different time zone. And the fact that we feel uncomfortable receiving those calls and awkward and guilty and embarrassed when we send those calls suggests that there is probably something a bit wrong. And I think it does still fall on the sender to take responsibility for where the person might be when you call.
Anna?
And I agree. And I think it's about the sender's expectations. Some people text and expect an immediate response, and other people know that you might text them back tomorrow or later or whenever you feel like it. So it's about managing your own expectations as a texter as well.
Okay. Well, hopefully that's helped Shannon and other people out there when it comes to behaviour and etiquette. Anna Archia, Dr. Tim Dean, thank you both very much for this Modern Dilemma.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks.